reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first lesson assigned for this weekend is recorded in Isaiah 51. As you remember, God's people were defeated by the Babylonian armies. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian armies carried the citizens of Israel off to captivity in Babylon. But God has not finished with them yet. And in chapter 51 of Isaiah, God brings words of comfort and hope to his defeated people. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places. He makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will send my justice for a light to the prophets. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in it like banner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is recorded in Romans chapter 11, where Paul talks of the majesty of God and then urges us to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes generously, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Out of respect to our Lord, we rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's been some weeks ago now that Jan and I were worshiping in a pew in a congregation, and the epistle lesson was from Romans chapter 7. And I was hearing that inspired message, I said to myself, I think next time I preach, I'd like to write a sermon on that text. It is so powerful and so meaningful for our daily lives. So, here you are, and here I am, and here's Romans chapter 7, our text. St. Paul, the giant of the New Testament, is saying, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for our consideration. Have you ever wondered why your life is so far away from your faith at times? Oh, I have. I'm sure you have too. What do I mean when I say our life being far away from our faith? Basically this. It seems so easy on Sunday morning to talk about our trust in Jesus Christ, who promises to be with us always, to the very end of this age. It is equally easy to take comfort in the fact that God has given his holy angels charge over each one of us, even to the point that we won't stub our toe against a rock. We're also assured the Holy Spirit is praying for us in thought concepts so rich and so deep that they're beyond our ability to comprehend. In a way, we could say, wow, I've got it made. Why would I ever want to sin? We come to church, we pray, praise, and give thanks, we kneel at the altar and are fed on the sacraments, and things couldn't be any better in our spiritual life. Only to have an argument on the way home or through lunch, and then spend the rest of the day in a silent tension. Or we say the wrong thing to a friend in a flash, a moment of temper. We know we shouldn't have said it. We probably don't even really mean it. But the words are out there, and we can't take them back. And our apologies, they just seem so weak. Have you ever wondered why things like that happen? Or I'm sure you could add your own items to this short list. It seems so easy in church, but so hard out there in the world. God seems so close as we kneel in the altar and receive his body and blood in the sacrament, but so distant in our day-to-day lives. Today, St. Paul, that giant of the New Testament, is wondering the same thing. Did you hear his words of frustration in our text this morning? I just don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I never get accomplished. And those actions I know to be wrong, even those actions I hate, those actions I do. He goes on to explain, I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. He says it's like a principle, like a law at work in him. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Then he goes on to describe that sinful tension at work in him is a war that's working in his body, a war from which he needs to be rescued. That's an important point. We can't rescue ourselves from this internal war that is raging in each child of God. Rather, we need a rescuer. I personally take a great deal of comfort in these words of Romans chapter 7 combined with words of Romans chapter 8. For there is St. Paul, a chosen instrument of God. St. Paul, God's missionary, who would carry the good news of Jesus Christ and his forgiving life from that dusty little corner in the Roman Empire all the way to the capital city, to Rome itself, and to Europe. And most of our ancestors came from Europe. Paul is saying he has a hard time living out the faith, just as we have a hard time living out our faith. If Paul could be so frustrated to say, I just don't understand it, you and I aren't alone in our frustration, in our inability to understand. I'm sure the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these honest words to serve as an example for all of us. In this section of Scripture, we learn that being a Christian in our Monday through Saturday lives isn't as easy as the TV preachers make it sound. As we live with what we might call these faith struggles, God has given us resources. You see, God always gives his children resources. He doesn't let us on our own to deal with this ourselves. God has not left us without aid and comfort. First of all, know with certainty that God knows and understands what human struggles are all about. God struggled as you and I would never have to struggle. In the garden, Jesus, now remember who Jesus is. What do we confess about him? Jesus, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, this Jesus struggled with his faith like you and I would never have to. He struggled to be faithful to his God-given mission. He struggled asking that the cup might pass. But nevertheless, he said, not will, my will, Lord, but yours be done. He struggled to the point, Luke tells us, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Yes, God knows human struggles, not by safely observing them from his heavenly throne, but he struggled for us and for our salvation. Finally, Paul throws up his hands and exclaims, what a wretched person I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? He realizes that he can't do it on his own. He realizes it's above his ability. He realizes he needs to depend on something, someone beyond himself, to be rescued from this struggle, this war of faith going on in his mind. You see, there's no self-help course, no self-help book you can get at the library. There's no 8 or 10 step program. There's no way we can pull ourselves up from by our own bootstraps when it comes to this struggle. Trying harder, being self-confident, self-hypnosis is not going to help us in this situation. Yet Paul did receive an answer to that struggle. For our text doesn't end with a downer, but an upper. After he speaks of being a wretched man, after he talks about the war that goes on within him, after he points out all his shortcomings, he ends our text with a sentence of praise. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? The one we disappoint is our rescuer. How ironic. Hear that again, because that's the whole point of this morning's message. The one we disappoint is our rescuer. Try as we might, we just cannot confirm our life to the faith we want to live. Our flesh, the world, the devil are always there to get in the way, to mess things up. But instead of being like Adam and Eve and hiding from God, trying to avoid God's judgment, we are invited to go to him, openly confessing our sins. That's why Paul can say, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, after he describes how he disappoints his Lord in the previous 9 verses. The one we disappoint is our rescuer. We acknowledge that in our liturgy when we follow one of the divine services. What do we say? Wow, Lord, it's been a long 7 days, and I have disappointed you. I've done that which I know I shouldn't be doing, and all those good things you want me to do, I just haven't got around to doing them this week. You see, the church is made up of sinners. Always has been, always will be. Sinners. Some on the outside use the word hypocrite. Sinners we are, one and all. But the church is made up of sinners who know what to do about their sins. They take them to the cross of Christ Jesus and lay them there, openly confessing those sins and receiving the assurance of forgiveness. The only sin that Jesus will not forgive is the sin we refuse to repent. There we are rescued. This is the resource God has given his children as they struggle in the world to be his children and live out their faith. And so with St. Paul we say, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that is greater than all of your human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.